Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 169. I'm celebrating tomorrow, Mike, just because I can. And we're on holiday. It's actually a bank holiday. Does it feel like a bank holiday to you?
Yeah, because I got up late.
It doesn't feel like a bank holiday to me. They all feel the same. Must admit. Mind you, I'm still working weird hours, but there is a reason. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Deb. CQCQ. And hello, Kim. How are you all doing?
I've got a bit of a personal question for Johnny.
Ooh, excellent. Spill.
Johnny, on a Friday night, when you fall asleep, not if, when.
Fall unconscious.
Yeah. Have you actually gone to bed? Or are you just...
Do you just fall asleep stood up?
Yeah, no. Do you just, like, lie on the sofa with the laptop there and just fall asleep? Or have you actually made a conscious decision to go to bed? Because with me, I think we've said this before, if I go to bed and I'm listening to an audio book or I'm listening to music or I'm listening to football commentary, I just fall asleep. And, you know, the next thing I know is it's 4 o'clock in the morning. The love hour is on.
Or the baby Jesus music.
And it's, you know, the commentary's finished. Or the podcast finished about 6 hours ago.
Oh, wow. Jonathan takes his to bed with him. Whoa! So he loving has, this. He props us up to that next to that book.
Which book?
The orange one about not giving a...
Oh, that one. That one. Yeah.
We get sat next to that book and the next minute he's unconscious.
Yeah, you see, I'm not surprised then, Johnny, that you fall asleep because you have actually gone to bed.
You are horizontal.
That happens to me.
Ooh.
Like last night, I went to bed at about 9:10 with the intention of watching something on my iPad. And I flicked through Amazon, what's it, movies. Amazon Prime. I didn't realise some of the stuff on there you had to buy.
Oh yeah, you need to use the filter at the top.
I thought it was
They are tempting little swines, yeah. Aren't they? You think, oh, that looks good. Yeah. How much?
I ended up watching something, a documentary on Ronaldo from the sports section. And 20 minutes in, I thought, I'm dozing off here. So I put the iPad down.
Right, serious question for Mike, seeing as though you've asked Johnny a serious question.
Yeah.
Right, so you go into the bedroom. Give me some peace, probably.
Paul is in bed and it's 4 o'clock. Wakey, wakey, Paul.
Paul's allowed to be. You've got to ease him gently into his day, Mike. You wouldn't have appreciated that at 4 o'clock this morning, would you, on a bank holiday?
Right, a serious question for me.
Yes, right. So you seriously went there with an intention to consume something.
Yeah.
But just give me some peace in here. Okay. Right, so you go next door and you get in bed and then the minute you're asleep.
Yeah.
Is there a reason you're not sat on the exercise bike pedalling like fury? Because that'd keep you awake.
Yes, there is.
Go on.
Have you seen the amount of stuff that's on top of that exercise
You bike? Do realise it's obligatory for exercise bikes in bedrooms to be swathed in clean clothes, don't you?
Yes.
Of course, we've taken that to extremes. Not in terms of clothes. Oh, no. We have audio cables strewn across the thing, don't we? There's actually an audio cable on the seat. 20 metres of an audio cable on there. But that would keep you awake.
Yes.
He's looking a bit perplexed now. Doesn't really know how to wriggle out of that one.
No. I actually considered for a fleeting moment.
Nanosecond.
Watching Mass. Because I've not actually been to Mass for weeks, have I?
Naughty, naughty you. I'll have you know, I edited our Mass.
Yeah, well, that counts then, doesn't it?
Not really. I didn't actually pay that much attention. You can't multitask like that. I can't give it my full... So, I watched one from St. John's with Father Mac.
That's one I was going to watch.
He's very good.
Yeah.
He is very, very good.
So when did you watch it? Yesterday?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's quite short. It's only about as short as ours. But it takes me back to going to church with my grandmother.
Yeah, that's what I was going to watch, that one or Father Stevens. But in the end, I watched it. Have you noticed neither of us is watching Ned's?
The thing is, it's nothing against Ned. Ned does a fabulous homily. It's the quality of the video. which just proves the point, doesn't it? I mean, there's two aspects to it. There's three, actually. There's the content of what it is you're watching. So if you've got like a priest who just direly bores you in the eulogy, you're not going to watch them. The second thing is the quality of the audio. And the final thing is the quality of the video. And as you know, from our church, we just don't have the quality of the audio or the video. The only way we could improve the audio, because it's a cavernous place, is for him to actually have a recording device close to him. And the problem with that is that would then have to be dropped off here, indeed COVIDed, before it was used. You're just adding complexity to it. The quality of the video is using an iPad, but I think it's an iPad circa sort of 1972. And the video file that I get is 640 by 480. And I have to upscale that to 1280 by 720. So, of course, it is blurred. You can make out it's a priest in a church, but that's about it. Whereas, I don't know who's doing theirs, but St. John's, it's high def. And the audio is brilliant.
Yeah.
And that add to that the fact it reminds me of my grandmother and, you know, that I'm gone. Sorry, Ned, I'm gone. Which I do feel bad about, I'll grant you. But it's become, you know, this COVID thing has really turned things that you would never have thought could be competitive in any meaningful way. I mean, you may have an amazing priest in Bournemouth, which is like 300 miles away, and you're not going to go down there for Mass on a Sunday. So there wasn't a marketplace for Mass. There wasn't a competition. The only competition you would ever have had is locally, say within, how far would you go for a Mass? 10, 15 miles?
Yeah.
That was the competition area. And of course, if you went to another church, trust me, that fact would get back to your own priest fast. So people tend not to do it. But now it's like a marketplace online. And you are going for Masses for many reasons. We've got Irish friends who are listening to Masses from churches in Ireland and feeling very much at home. Kath has been going to her childhood church and she got married there. So she's got happy memories of the place. So during lockdown, they've been going live with Mass and she's been going there. And other people are going to other places for different reasons, like me. The quality of the one from St. John's is fantastic. And it was my grand's priest. It's now amazing. They now have to compete. And some of these priests can't handle it. They are aware they're having to compete. They are aware that they're going to need to appear on video and appear as confident as if they weren't on videos, if they were live, but just doing a standard Mass that they've probably done for 40 years. And some have taken to it and some are struggling, and that's showing in the viewing figures. It's weird, isn't it?
It is.
You couldn't see that one coming. There's now a marketplace for Mass.
Kim wants to know what a bank holiday is. It's basically a national holiday, Kim. So, you know, like your Thanksgiving and Labor Day, etc., etc. So we have a bank holiday on New Year's Day. It probably came, it probably originated from many years ago when the banks actually shut for the day.
Yeah, they did.
Hence it's called bank holiday. So New Year's Day is known as a bank holiday.
Scotland have another one. They have the 2nd of January as well.
Most people get a day off work. Good Friday is a bank holiday. Easter Monday is a bank holiday. We have two in May, one at the beginning, one at the end. And we have one which is usually the last Monday of August. And Christmas Day and Boxing Day are also known as bank holidays.
They are.
But it's basically your national holidays. Simon wants to know if there's a transfer window for priests.
It's going to turn into that, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
They are really, really struggling.
Shall I get Ned on my fantasy team?
He's an amazing priest. But he's not comfortable on video. And I can't... Neither Mike nor I can understand that because he is... such a character, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is big and bold and brash and in your face. To think that he is nervous about being on video is just bizarre to us. But he's not comfortable. And if he's not comfortable, you can sense it. Some of the other priests that, I mean, there's one I'm thinking of who contacted you at the beginning of all of this. They had absolutely no idea what to do. So Mike had a chat with him. They sorted out somebody to record it just on an iPhone. And then you had the chat with him while he was out walking the dog, didn't you? And it was a really lovely chat with the guy. But if you'd have said to me he would take to video, I wouldn't have believed you. But he's been brilliant.
Yeah.
He's even taken.
I was considering going to his mass last night.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. It is really bizarre. The ones who've stepped up are not necessarily the ones you would have thought of. And yet others that I would think, oh, they'd be great. They're not. They're not comfortable. They're not enjoying it. They can't wait to get rid of it. But at the same time, they didn't see it coming, and they are only just beginning to realise now that people are not comfortable going back. I think they thought they had a monopoly of like, oh, well, you know, if you go anywhere in the week, you'll go to mass. And it's not true. In a way, this is my personal feelings. I haven't even mentioned this to Mike, so I don't know how he feels. But to me, I think they've opened too soon. I think they opened as soon as they feasibly could. So the very first weekend, which must have been the 5th of July.
Yeah, it was.
It was either the 5th or the 12th. It was, you know, places of worship can open. And they opened. And they limited the numbers to 50%. Hello, baby girl. Can you say hello? Can you explain to everybody why you've left that duo stick? No, I'm not, Mummy.
No, I'll play football again.
She's loving it.
Poor daddy out.
Anyway, they opened as soon as they possibly could. At 50% capacity, with people guiding you to your seats. But the most significant thing to me is the you've got to wear a mask.
Yeah.
There's no singing at all, which must sound really weird. And you can't sit. It's just not the same experience. You're not sitting. Have you? Yes, you tell everybody. Come nearer the microphone and tell them that. Come on. No, I'm stood at the door just grumbling. Father, take me in the garden.
Come on, man.
Do your duty. you know, you're not with your friends. It's a totally different experience. And yet I look at what the synagogues have done. Their community's thriving. And they're not. They've not gone back to synagogue. It's still online on Zoom. But they've done it because they don't feel it's worthwhile taking a risk. But our priests do believe it's worth taking a risk. That's the edict from the bishop. And it's like, get everybody back. And I'm thinking it's only going to be a matter of time before one person gets it and it goes round like wildfire. We've accepted every year for the past 5 years, 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18 and 19, 6 years. We've just accepted the last 6 years that when it comes to Christmas time, December through to probably beginning of February, we will get a cold or flu from church. But obviously now I'm not prepared to risk that. There's only Mike and I. We only have each other. There's not like we've got a huge extended family. We haven't. We have a duty to look after Lola for a start. And also, I wouldn't particularly want to live without Mike, and I presume you wouldn't particularly want to live without me. So it's kind of logic not to take those risks. And the synagogues, I think, have made a stand, which is we think that much of you, we don't want you to risk it coming back to synagogue. We'll carry on doing it online. That's a big change. There was a big article in the local paper about one of the local rabbis. And he said, like, he was very nervous at the beginning and he has his laptop balanced on the kitchen table. It was a wonderful piece. But no, we're not going to let people come back. It's not worth the risk. That the community in the synagogue is a very touchy-touchy, feely-feely thing. And although they'd actually have it easier getting the seats out because they're seats and not benches, they're not going to do it. And I agree with that more than I agree with our lot. Have we watched The Purge? No, I haven't. Let me have a look. You know me. I only see tiny little bits of things. Let me have a look. Oh, Amazon Prime. What's it all about? Right, there we go. I've got it. Oh, that looks interesting. Murder's legitimate. Oh, I could get into this, Jonathan. Particularly at the moment. Right, I've got the page. I will have a look at that. Excellent. Watch part of the service in double time and the same message half the time. Oh, Kim, that's me. I've been taking my listening speed on Audible up bit by bit. And I've got it up from about 1.1 to 1.2, which is like, bet you can barely hear the difference, to 2.5. But that's with fiction books. And I wondered if I could stick to the 2.5 speed on like a course. So last night, I usually managed to fit in about 20 minutes. Once I've packed up and I'm going to bed, you know, I'm putting stuff away, doing my teeth and things. So obviously doing my teeth, I've got to tell Kim that. So I usually get about 20 minutes listening time in. And obviously, if I can get that up to two times, that's 40 minutes worth. Get it up to 2.5 and it's 50 minutes worth. No, is it 50 minutes worth? 50 minutes worth. At that stage, you know, I'm quite happy to listen for another sort of 4 minutes, and that takes me up to an hour. So I had a go last night with a course. And it was so funny. I don't think I would have been able to do it. I think I would have to have taken it down a little bit because the lady had an Irish accent, which I don't have a problem with an Irish accent, but try that at 2.5 times. It's a tinge tricky. So I think I would have had to have taken it down, but for the fact that just coincidentally, the last book that I'd listened to at 2.5 speed was narrated by an Irish lady. And I found that very, very difficult, but I stuck with it. So when I started this course, it was simple. No problem. Totally understood it. Which is handy because our priest has an Irish accent. So I need to try that. If they did a Sabbath service in shul in 30 minutes, between 11:30 and 12:30, you'd go, none of this 8 o'clock to 1 p.m. stuff. It's quite an occasion, isn't it, Jonathan? You want the short version.
Oh, chicken.
Oh, she's a happy bunny. The priests get put where they're put by the bishop, Simon. So the organisation of them is interdiocese. So the place we're talking about, which is my grand's priest, is actually in the Salford diocese, which is way, way closer to us than our own diocese. We are at the very north end. We're the last church in the diocese of Shrewsbury. So it's unlikely, like, when my grand's priest was moved, he was moved from a church in Whalley Range to one in Cholton, which is literally 4 miles, something like that. But they could be moved much further away, but in their own diocese, which would be Greater Manchester, you know, Salford Diocese, just to the west of Greater Manchester. But yeah, our priest could be moved anywhere. They usually moved every 5 to 6 years. Our priest has been here now, I think, about 12 years. And
he'll be getting his testimonial.
Oh, he will. But the reason that he's not being moved is that up until last year, he was in charge of three parishes, so they need a younger priest for that. So when he arrived here, he was only about 44, something like that, 43. They needed a younger priest. There's no point putting a priest in who's just about to retire, trying to manage three parishes. So I think he's only got to stay as long as he has because they don't really have a priest young enough and go-getting enough to manage as much work as he has to do. So they are moved around, but it's basically at the discretion of the bishop. Sadly, you can't put a request in. I wonder how that'd go down with the bishop. Well, with the bishop, our bishop, if you put a request in for X, you are bound to get Y. So we just leave it be. Just totally leave it be. But I'm actually liking that idea. Put in it. Let's have a vote for who we can get.
He could do a Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Could put in a transfer request.
That would work.
Yeah. With a $700 million buyout clause.
I saw one of these, I think it was it wasn't a crime thing, whatever it was. It was about sort of life in this particular location. And I'm looking at it and I thought, that's Seattle. And then obviously I put everything down and started watching. Everywhere in America does look a lot cleaner than here. I think it's because over here, the thing, it's just things like weeds growing and there is graffiti, but the councils don't seem to be that bothered anymore. I think Manchester and, well, Greater Manchester in particular, they're not really that bothered about dealing with it, which annoys me. I think it just looks as you're going through it, you know, could you possibly get rid of the weeds and put some flowers in? And I am only talking like at the side of the road, but it never used to look like that when I was a kid. I presume it was kept down with natural, you know, like flies and bees and stuff.
Yeah.
Because when I used to drive to London, by the time I got to London, I need to wash my windscreen. And it was tiny, tiny dead flies on it. And my dad was the same. He used to always have a sponge and some water, and you used to see it at garages as well on forecourts, didn't you? Mm. And you'd have to do your lights as well. And I swear now we've driven from like, we've done like a 500-mile round trip, and you don't need to clean your windscreen. Where did those flies go? And they're probably what's missing from our eco-structure at the moment. And hence we get a lot of weeds. That and the fact that some stupid idiot at the end of our road, only 8 houses, thank God there's no more, put this tree in. I've no idea what it is, but it grows like nothing I've ever seen. And we're totally at the other end of the street from it. But you are constantly pulling out this kind of fern stuff.
I don't think you can blame her, because that is now all over the place.
I know, but that's where it started from.
Oh.
Because it's so distinctive, isn't it? It's like, it's not like a Christmas tree, but on the other hand, it is like branches
just
of a Christmas tree.
Load out.
Yeah. The thing is, one, it spreads, and two, it grows so fast.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very annoying. I don't like that.
I'd only pulled it out a few weeks ago.
Oh, Jonathan's planning a venture away from us. Oh, and you like, now I'd love to visit Canada. I would like to visit Canada.
I've been to Canada.
I know, but like only for 5 minutes. I think I would like Canada, definitely. Lola's loving her bank holiday. Her toys have arrived, so we're about to unbox the toys. But she's just generally, she went through, what do you say, about 2 weeks, 10 days, 2 weeks, of being a bit grumpy. What's she doing now? We've just heard something fall over. Dread to think what she's done. Has she dropped chicken?
I think she dropped chicken.
Dropped chicken between, down the stairs.
No, between her bed and the skirting board.
That's what she has you for, yes. To run round after her.
Yeah, so I've picked it up and put it back on her bed and right in front of her paws, and now she's quite happy.
Oh dear, oh dear. It's good girl for doing my teeth. Yes, I did. I did. Despite how late it was, I did.
I did my teeth.
You have lots of rain to wash stuff off. We have rain, but I think our rain is like dirty rain. You'll know this place, Jonathan. It's a church, and it used to be near the flyover going into Manchester. But then they ripped the flyover out, and now it's a kind of gazunder, if you're with me. It really is a gazunder. There is no
underpass.
Flyover. It's an underpass. So that's what I mean. A gazunder, like I'm saying. And it was a church, had a graveyard with it, with really old style grave, you know, headstones, really. And it was black. And I always thought they'd built it like that. You know, that was the colour of the bricks that they'd used. Well, when they ripped down the overpass to put in the underpass, laugh of it is the underpass goes the other way. So it does make you wonder.
Yeah.
When they ripped it out, they were ripping that out. They sold, this thing wasn't an active church. It was very, very old. They sold the church and it got redeveloped into flats. It was so unusual that it was on the local news, and these were beautiful. They were amazing inside. And obviously they'd retained all of the original features of this church. But in relation to the rain, they sandblasted the outside of it to take it back to what it originally looked like. Whoa! Totally different. Can you find some pictures of that? Must be up there surely somewhere.
Probably,
it was literally jet black. And I thought, well, it's just black bricks they've used. But when they'd done it, it went back to a kind of sandy, a very light sandy colour. These apartments sell for like $500,000 to $1 million. They are that expensive. I'm not at all sure, you know, given the fact that your garden's a graveyard. I mean, they did take the headstones away. I'm not sure what they did with the bodies. But on the inside, they're amazing. But, you know, that black, it must come from the fact it's next to a main road. And then it gets on it. And I mean, I would love to see how long it takes to get back to the state it was in terms of it being jet black.
Is it called St. George's Church?
Is it Church Fields? I can't see your microphones in the way. That's the one, I think.
Yeah.
Looks like
it. Besides Chester Road.
Yep, that's the one.
Where the Mancunian Way joins the Inner Ring Road.
That's right. So at the junction of the Mancunian Way and the through road to Salford.
Built between 1826 and 1828.
Well, in that case, at the time that they did it, it was probably about 150 years old. It clearly took it 150 years to get into that state. It shows you the pollution that's coming from cars, though, doesn't it? And the rain.
Yeah.
I don't think we have clean rain. I think we have kind of industrial rain. And it stains stuff. It stains wood. There was actually a chemical leak at Carrington. Carrington is a refinement plant for the oil industry. And as the crow flies, it's probably about a mile. But you can't get to it that way. So if you were driving to it, it would be near a sort of 4-5 miles. But this particular day, I woke up and the car had this kind of dust on it, but quite an unusual colour of dust. And I'm thinking, what on earth is that? And I looked at my dad's car and it was the same. I'm thinking, where's this come from? Looked at the neighbours, they had it as well. So I thought, well, that needs coming off. But I thought, I'm not doing it now. Anyway, I went back into the house. I drove the car because I was going to work. I used to start work at 4:30. So I drove the car to work and thought, I'll clean it later. It'll be fine. Got back home. And when I got back home from work, I always had another 2 hours sleep. So I thought, I'll do it after I've gone to bed, you know, not before. Which was just as well. Because by the time I got up, I finished work at 8. So I had a couple of hours, got up at 10. And by the time I got up at 10... the news was alive with the fact that cars were covered in this dust in and around Carrington because there'd been a leak. And whatever you do, don't touch it. It's poisonous. I thought, now you tell me. You know, what about those of us who were up at 4:30 this morning? Luckily, I didn't like the look of it to the state that I didn't touch it to get into the car. And I just squirted windscreen washer on it to clear the windscreen. But how ludicrous. It shows you how dangerous it is. That has happened a couple of times. But the last time I just said to Mike, close the windows and don't touch it. And we'll just wait and see what happens on the news. But the news is always like, you know, day and a half late. So we just leave it. But it's not good round here. Windscreen. Learn that term on Vera. Yes, the windscreen. What now? What do you guys call it?
Windshield.
The windshield. That's right. It's a similar principle. Funny story about the windscreen. My father, when I started learning to drive, I was 17, and he was obviously paranoid about his only daughter. So when I started driving, in fact, it was as soon as I got a car. I got a car for my 18th birthday. And he insisted that we buy a temporary windscreen. You're wondering what that is. It's a sheet of plastic, but it's so big it would go across where the glass would be, and you attach it. By there is some sticky pads in it, but seeing as though I've had it in the car since 1985, I doubt they're going to be very sticky. But you can also attach it by opening the door and then trapping it in the door, if you're with me, the front two doors. So he said, you never know when you might need this. You know, your windscreen goes and you wouldn't be able to drink. You'd have to drive really slow. I mean, I insist you have one of these things. And he bought it. Do you know, it's been there ever since. Literally, we're coming up to what? 35 years. And it's still there. Never needed it. I mean, I guess it's one of those things you hope you will never need. But that was my dad all over. And he used to give me bottles of stuff and say, this is brake fluid and this is oil and this is this and this is that. But they weren't labelled. So, you know, if you ever needed anything, you're looking at it thinking, I wonder what the blue one is. Oh, he cared a lot, but honestly, he could have been more practical with it. Oh, Jonathan's been to Canada, you know.
That looks lovely, Kim.
Let's have a
look. Just having a look.
Where's the link? Dream Vacation. Oh, right.
Banff.
I've heard of Banff.
I haven't.
Oh, no, I've heard of Banff. Let's have a look. Why are you not getting there? Come on, come on, come on. Oh, that looks gorgeous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That actually looks like...
Where is it?
Is it Norway? No, Banff is in Scotland, isn't it? Is it?
No.
Or is this Canada?
America.
Oh, there's a Banff in Scotland. No. There is a Banff in Scotland.
That Lake Louise.
That just looks gorgeous. It reminds me of the Norwegian fjords. I've always fancied Iceland and Norway. I mean, obviously, I'm never going to get there. But they're nice and cold, so it would be far better for me than Barbados.
Alberta, Canada, Lake Louise.
Oh, that's my favourite song, my Alberta song, Alberta Skies, from Due South. This is why I want to visit Canada, isn't it? Due South. They've got dogs
there.
Isn't
that where I went?
Alberta, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was. It just looks beautiful, doesn't it? Untouched. Look at the colour of the water. That reminds me of the first few weeks of lockdown. After about
Calgary, yeah.
Four to 6 weeks of lockdown. And do you remember those pictures of the Venice canals where they were absolutely clear? Yeah. I just thought that was the natural colour of the water. Who knew that it would clear so quickly if people stopped polluting it? Nature needs time to heal itself, I think. Oh, I'm with you. That's my kind of heaven, that. Nice and cool. And that cabin looks amazing. Doesn't that cabin, you know, the one with the Maggie the Bison head looking at me, might put me off a bit. But the light looks amazing. It reminds me of the Castle in the Air, which is a local hostelry very close to the Trafford Centre. It does like a fantastic breakfast. In fact, it's next to the ski slope, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's at the foot of the ski slope. So you see a lot of people coming in with skis, having been skiing. And it's so busy. I mean, there's a lot of parking, isn't there? But if you don't get there, we would try and go there for breakfast after Mass. So after Mass, Mass was 9:30. We'd done by 10:15. We then went in and had tea with everyone. And you would leave about 11 o'clock to 10 past, something like that. And it's probably about a 5 minute journey. But we'd get there and it would be absolutely jam-packed. So we ended up going to a much smaller place, didn't we, called the Bus Stop Cafe.
Yeah,
which, Jonathan, if you ever get a chance to have a breakfast at the Bus Stop Cafe, your only problem is it's probably not kosher. Darn it. But you never know, they might do kosher because they do gluten-free, don't they? It's ever so tiny, but oh, it's amazing. All handmade, homemade stuff and very personable, but very tiny, unfortunately. But it is a really nice place. Have I been on a dog sled? No, I haven't. No. I was on the other end of Mayor's Lead, which was pretty similar. If only I'd have had skates on. He was lethal. But no, I have seen in Scotland, they do have, I think it's January time. And I can't remember the location, but they do this huge dog sledding thing. And it's so unusual in this country. It usually makes it onto the news. And I love seeing like all of the teams turn up. I would love to try it. But on the other hand, I never having done it, it might not end well. But it looks great fun. It really does.
Thing with the Bus Stop Cafe is it's quite small.
It is. It's
with
too
social
small.
Distancing.
I don't know how they'd open.
Yeah, well, they are open. I'm looking at their Facebook page.
But you must only have like three tables of people in. Which is, how on earth? Good night, Jonathan. How on earth you would do that effectively and make money, I don't know. They do have a side garden, though, but obviously not in this weather. We've suddenly become very wintry. To the point, you remember how hot it was literally like 10 days ago? To the point now, it's like, we best close that window because it's chilly. And the other night when I was working at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I thought, you know what? I could do with a cardigan. We've literally gone from I want to take my skin off to I need a blanket in 10 days. Oh, that's the UK weather for you. But I am not complaining about that. I will just find a blanket. This happened in the spring. I think it was March, April time. So it was around, you know, COVID time. And it was cold and we had a fire in here. We do have a radiator on the wall, but, you know, needs must, and there's a desk in front of it. So we wheel in an oil-powered fire. And we had that fire in here till the day we took it out because we needed to put a fan in. So literally 2 days before, we had the heater on. 2 days after that, it was like, yeah, we need to get rid of that. I need the fan now. There doesn't seem to be any kind of happy medium. It's just the UK, that, isn't it? We're weird, what can I say? So Simon says, think the Venice thing was a lack of agitation rather than it cleaning up. I guess it could have been, but there were things that were swimming in it. I don't know if it was a dolphin, but there was big fish that wouldn't normally be in there that had kind of ventured in. But I guess that's their livelihood and that's how they get about, and you've got no option with it, have you? The cabin is a very common look for Western North America. I'm not au fait with the area so much, so I would know like New York, and I would have a vague idea of what that would be like, and LA, and probably Vegas. I had a friend who emigrated to Vegas, and we've got friends in Texas, Houston, isn't it?
Tom.
Yeah, so I've got a bit of an idea of the areas there, but other than that, and you know, I have to look at a map to see that borders Canada. That's likely to be cold. And other ones. And we had a friend that went to Florida, didn't we?
Looking at Calgary again. Everywhere looks so clean and
it's the lack of weeds
and
the lack of rubbish. We're just slovenly in this country. I just have to say we are. When you see what happened, you know, when it opened up and people started going out again, they just throw the rubbish on the floor. Somebody's got to deal with that. I don't understand it. I really don't. It's just the way people are. We have had, for our COVIDiots, the first £10,000 fine. And one of those, did you see who got one of those £10,000 fines?
No.
Jeremy Corbyn's brother.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did.
And you're thinking, that's right, set a good example. Jeremy Corbyn used to be the leader of the opposition. So I guess the nearest equivalent you would have is Joe Biden at the moment, trying to get in. That was him. But he did better than he thought, but not quite as well as they needed, and they got rid of him. And it's now Sir Keir Starmer, who's... Have you noticed? I'm thinking his tactic is possibly going to see them get in next time. He's not saying a darn thing. In fact, I had to think twice then who the leader of the Labour Party was.
Oh, I couldn't have told.
Just keep your mouth shut is his tactic. Let Boris talk himself into a mess, and then when there's an election... Don't say a word and everybody will just vote for Labour. And you know, I think that actually could happen. Mm. As long as you don't upset anybody, you'll be in power. Just give it 4 years. Oh, it's bizarre. Politics here is just totally bizarre. You get a filthy fish tank and stir it up, it'll look murky, leave it for a few days. So it's just the sediment falling to the bottom, is it, Simon? It looked nice, though, so let's go with that. You could rest the place, like, one day a week, couldn't you? And just help out. You think I'd enjoy a dog sled ride? You know, I probably would. I adore the dogs. I do. We did see, again, we were out. And I think this was just before we got Maya. Mum was warming to the idea of a dog at the time, which I didn't know. Do you remember that morning she told me in Morrison's? Mm. And I'm like, right, I'll get that on order before she changes her mind. It was, I think it was April. And 2 weeks later we had Maya. Definitely before she changed her mind. But while we were out one day, we saw this van. And it was like a closed-in van. We would call it in the UK a transit van. A Ford Transit van. I don't know if you have anything similar, but it's not like a long truck. It's like a box van with a cab all in one. And it didn't have any windows, which I thought was odd, but the back doors were wide open. So as we walked past, there was all this howling and chunnering going on. And as we walked past, you kind of like, slow down. I think it's dogs. Slow down. So we slowed right down and we were looking, and it was dog crates, metal, you know, wired dog crates, stacked one on top of another. And you could see like each dog in its own little crate, or two dogs in a crate. And they'd open the doors to obviously give the dogs some air. And it was Huskies. And they were obviously a mushing crew. So it's like, I've got to stop and say hello to the dogs. But my mum's face, she spots this dog, this Husky. And it had blue eyes. Now, in a Samoyed, blue eyes is considered a breed fault. You know, that would make it, put it into the category of it's a mongrel or a designer dog, you know. But blue eyes are fault as against the breed standard. But in Huskies, it's not. And I have seen many Huskies that have got one brown eye and one blue. But I've never seen a Husky that had piercing blue eyes like this one. It really did. And to be honest, it just looked really weird. And it freaked Mum out totally. think that was the point. She was like, if you were having a dog, because Diefenbaker was a husky, wasn't he? Yeah. Wolf husky cross. If you were ever getting a dog, so this was before it was actually on offer, would you prefer a husky or a Samoyed? So I'm like, a Samoyed. A Samoyed, absolutely a Samoyed. And she's like, oh, I was thinking maybe you could get a dog. But I think if I'd have said a husky, she'd have thought back to this one with these piercing blue eyes. It was the kind of look on a dog that you would be really worried about. It looked like it had human eyes. They were that blue. And she backed off, Mum. She was freaked out by this dog. She didn't even see Mayer before we brought him home. We headed off and we were going to meet him. And then, as long as there was a dog left when we got there, we were going back the following week to pick him up. But Mayer just took to us and wouldn't leave our side. So the breeder said, take him with you now. You know, it's 7 weeks, not eight, but he's happy. Take him with you. So we rang Mum and said, you know, next week when we're bringing the dog back, she said, yes, I'll have the house all ready with everything he needs. I said, he's in the car. He's coming now. What can you do in 3 hours?
Kim's planning a trip.
Ooh.
Planning our trip.
Our trip. Oh, yeah, snow yowl tours or snowy owl tours. Oh, yowl. Dog's yowl. I'm sure it's snowy owl tours.
Dr. Husky.
Oh, good grief. This is something I need. Can you remember back to starting after hours and we didn't have Lola? That's scary. Mm. Look at their little faces. I do think huskies are beautiful dogs.
They are.
You see that one at the bottom in the logo has got a blue eye.
Yeah.
I've never seen a Sammy with a blue eye. I have seen photos, but not up personal. But we did see one, didn't we? You found it on Pinterest. It was, it must have been a husky something, a Samoyed something cross. It definitely had a Samoyed face. But when he kind of pulled back, the markings on it were husky. It looked bizarre. There Mind you, Mayer spent his entire life trying to be black.
There you go. Meet the pack.
Oh, I've got to see this. How many have they got?
Hundreds.
Oh, wow. Where's the Meet the Pack link?
Under About Us.
Right, I've got it. It's loading. Come on.
It takes ages to load.
I think you've got the bandwidth. Oh, look, they've got all kinds of different dogs. Oh, wow. Look at their faces. Oh, there's one there called Audi. Audi and Allura, they both got blue eyes, but this one had the dark husky markings, so more like Beretta. If you look at that picture of Beretta, one eye is brown and one is blue, which, you know, is a very common thing. Bishop next to it, same, one brown eye, one blue. There's one there called Bear, Mike.
Bear, Lola Bear.
Charger's got blue eyes, but it's the face. The dark face with the blue eyes is what makes it look quite odd.
Mm.
And Mum literally backed off. She nearly backed up into a car as she was looking at this dog. The dog was eyeballing her. But we brought Mayer in and she just looked and she melted. And my dad, oh, he couldn't get over it. I mean, he'd seen pictures of Samoyeds, but I don't think he'd ever seen a Samoyed. And when we handed Mayer to him, this 7-week-old pup, he just melted. Dad totally melted, and all we could get out of him for an hour was, look at his little white eyelashes. He couldn't get over the fact he had white eyelashes, and he's just sitting there cradling him, holding him. Oh, my dad was a big animal lover. He would have loved dogs when I was growing up. It was Mum that wouldn't have a bar of it. I think her experience with dogs had not been good. One attacked her when she was pregnant. That put the icing on the cake. But prior to that, the only dogs that she'd, well, my grandparents had a dog, not when she was young. Later, they got a dog. But it was always, no one actually ever went out in my family to buy a dog. They always seemed to just acquire a dog. And this one was a neighbour. And this dog basically just went from neighbour to neighbour whenever it felt like it. So one minute it was on its actual owner's doorstep. And before you knew it, it was on my grandparents' doorstep. And it was just like the neighbourhood dog, which is your granddad. Had that, didn't he? With the neighbours next door. It was more of a communal dog. But they did end up with it living with them when this couple moved away and couldn't take the dog with them. And another one was that when the new neighbours moved in many years later, they had this dog. They were both out at work and this dog was on its own. In the end, it spent as much time at my grandparents as it did where it lived. And again, the couple split up and neither one of them could take the dog to where they were moving to. So my grandparents ended up with another dog. And I think because of that, Mum was like, it's not like a particular breed. It's just like somebody else's leftovers. A second-hand dog, as we got accused of. But, you know, with Lola, it was slightly different. It wasn't like nobody wants her. It was like, she's absolutely perfect, Lola, isn't she? But it was like, we really can't look after her on a full-time basis. But, you know, Lola gets to go visit and it works and everybody's happy. But yeah, Maya was the only one that we actually went out with a view to buying a dog. And, you know, we got blamed, didn't we? Why didn't you go to rescue? Because, and I felt at the time that this was true. I was about, how old was I when I got Maya? 34. Was I 34? Yes, I was 34. Yeah. We got Maya. And, you know, why don't you go and get a rescue dog and blah, blah, blah. You could take a dog with three legs. And I'm like, you know, I will support the local rescue, but this is my one and only chance at a dog and I want a Samoyed. And to me, it was like, I'm not having children. Well, technically at 34, I could. I don't want children, I want a dog. And I want this Samoyed dog. And I really did think he would be the only dog that I ever had. Because within weeks, I mean, he was such a character, wasn't he? It was like, obviously we got to know dog people and their dogs were older than Maya, and, you know, as they died, they couldn't get a dog fast enough. And we're just looking at each other like, there's no dog that could replace Maya, ever. And that's why it took us so long. I mean, Lola was lovely, but she didn't, and she's the same breed, but I wouldn't say she looked like Maya. She looked much like a girl version of Maya. But this particular weekend, it was the last weekend in September, and Lola had been with us for probably about 3 or 4 days. And she came into the office and she nudged my arm and looked at me. And I thought, good grief, she looks like Maya. And I said to Mike, I felt a bit stupid saying it to you, but I said, I know I'm going to sound really weird and I know I'm insane. I said, but today she just came up, I said, and she looked at me and Mike went, yeah, and she looks like Maya. She's turning into Maya. And I said, that's it, she is. She is. And that was the weekend that the lady said, could you possibly adopt her? So it was all meant to be. Those dogs are gorgeous. Oh, so many dogs. They haven't got one that's got the facial colourings and the blue eyes, but they do have the blue eyes. I reckon the eyes that freaked Mum out the most were probably either the dog called Mustang or the one called, is it Gnome? Gnome? If you can imagine those blue eyes, but with the husky colourings. Totally freak the poor woman out. Check out Goblin. Right, Goblin. Where's Goblin? That is a cool name for a dog. I would never have thought of that, but that is a cool name. Oh, there's a Harley there.
Harley Bear.
Oh, look at Goblin. That is actually fairly similar. A little bit more blue than that, a little bit deeper blue. But yes, very, very similar. They are beautiful, aren't they? Isn't it amazing? They've got white ones, but could be Samoyeds, but they haven't got enough fur to be a Samoyed. So they must all be Huskies. They are all absolutely beautiful. You see, this is the problem. If I went to breed rescue to pick one, how on earth do you pick one? You start thinking, well, we came for one, but, you know, if we knocked a wall down. Oh, Anthony would too love to do dog sled riding. We need to have a Matt Bites meetup at the dog sled. Place and go dog sledding. That would be amazing. Good evening, Tracy. How are you doing? You've gone from 32, 33 to 2022 in one day. Oh, wow. That's pretty much where we've gone. It's now blanket territory. Which brother? What are we talking about now, Simon? Remind me.
Jeremy Corbyn, I think.
Oh, Jeremy Corbyn. Yeah, Jeremy Corbyn's brother. Can't remember his name. I think he's got quite an unusual name.
He has. I did say it earlier.
I can't even remember. I'm thinking of the other fella, the other goon, the one who fell asleep in the House of Commons. Rees-Mogg. He's got weird names for everything, including his kids. His kids have got, like, dog names.
Corbyn brother. Piers.
Piers Morgan.
Piers Richard Corbyn.
Is it just me? But, you know, he was the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn. And I'm thinking, if you've got a brother called Piers, that's a definite Tory name. Or am I being snobby?
No.
There aren't many Labour Party supporters that say, oh, my name's Piers. Pleased to meet you. It's very much a Tory name, that. Who knows what his persuasion is. But he was being an idiot during this, wasn't he? Wasn't he one of the anti-mask brigade? I've got no time for people like this. People are dying. We know people who have died. This is not a hoax. I'm not saying the severity of it for the majority of people you couldn't get away with. But even then, how do you know what damage it's done to your lungs down the line? So just stay safe. It's really simple. Just stay safe. This is why we're having a staycation, but I don't think we've ever had a staycation quite as stay as this one, have we?
No.
We've always been like, we'll go out for the day. And it's like, no, we won't go out for the day. What we'll do is we'll buy Lola lots of toys and we'll play with them. Somehow today, we didn't even manage to eat. We've been that busy. But all with good things. Jonathan's gone. We can utter the numbers, you know. 1, 3, 3. Don't tell Jonathan. He only gets over giddy. Can't make any guarantees as to when, but you know, it will happen because that is what we are referring to it here. Although officially it's 133, isn't it? Internally, it's known as J11, which means we're only two shows away from me annihilating him points-wise, as long as there's a MacBytes. I don't get a point for actually completing an After Hours, do I?
No.
Oh, let's ask Kim, because Kim's the umpire. Kim knows all the rules. What happens if we put something out that wasn't a MacBytes and wasn't an After Hours, but was definitely a show? Would we get a point for that?
Yes.
Oh, you think we should do you? Yes, but Kim's the official umpire.
Yeah.
You're just saying yes because you think it's a good idea. Kim needs to contemplate that.
Shall I go and start dinner?
You go and start dinner and we'll... I'll finish at 8. Kim, will it be ready for 8?
Yeah.
Right. Well, you say good night then.
Good night from me.
But not me. I'm still here.
You know what I did this afternoon?
I dread to think.
I left my watch on charge and took Lola for a walk. Missing out on all those steps.
That's the definition of stupidity, Mike.
Luckily, I think I've made me steps from this morning's walk.
Oh, Kim comes up with a very interesting question there. Is it audio or video? It would probably be audio. Would that count? Because Matt buys his audio and that counts. I wonder when Jonathan's going to catch up and think, what's going on? You never know. When you least expect it, of course. When you least expect it. Oh, Mike's not alone. Kim does that all the time. I tend to try and charge mine in the middle of the night when I'm working. And that way I'm at my desk. It's really quiet. And what I do is I have on my watch face at the bottom. So I tend to use the watch face with the big activity rings on it and the digital figures. I flip between two, but that's my main watch face. So at the bottom, the complication I've got is the timer. And I set the timer for every 30 minutes. And every 30 minutes, I'll then get up, move around. And on the 30-minute mark, I'll check how charged the watch is. And then make sure, you know, was it 100%? I'll take it off charge. But because the alarm is going off every 30 minutes, I tend not to miss one, to get up and do some movement. There you go. So if it was an audio piece, would that count for a point? Obviously, only beyond the 12 that we need. And we're working on J11. Audio over 30 minutes, but not Brooklyn's. Oh, no, we can't have Brooklyn's counting. But if we do the video show, that could count for Johnny if he stays awake. Excellent point. If I took part of stuff that I have done in After Hours and updated it all and put it out as a separate video. Thing is, if you do that, the videos do tend to be under 30 minutes because people haven't got the patience on YouTube. So an average YouTube video is probably somewhere between 10 to 20. But with it being video, I feel that should count. We'll see how that goes. I think Jonathan's big problem is he's lying down. We need to get him some kind of... oh, no, just live video. Oh, so it only counts if it's live video. Oh, dear. Yeah, we could do that. Oh, in that case, did I get a point for the newsletter one? Because I gave a choice of three and the other two were layers and blend modes. Or was it masking and blend modes? Layers? No, layers and mask. Blend modes. Blend modes. As well as the blend modes one, there was the export one, which Debbie's curious about. So I've got those two to sort out as well. I think they're definitely worth a point, but we'll see how we go. I'm sure Jonathan would be interested in the export persona. Johnny will stay awake so get the points. He probably would. That'd start at 8 and it would all be done by 10. And that's this side his bedtime, isn't it? I think maybe it's the 9 o'clock start that's doing it for him. But hey, never mind. We all have a giggle, don't we? We all have lots and lots of fun. So we've got stuff to organise. Oh, my book club as well. Last night my book club was fabulous. I had a great night in my book club. Maybe we need a book club. That'd be an idea, wouldn't it? Where we all get together and discuss a particular type of book. Basically what they do with it is there's a book that we're reading. It's a productivity book rather than being, you know, the latest John Grisham. And we share notes, which is working really well, much better than I expected, actually, to be honest. That was week four, but I didn't make week one because the reminder didn't arrive until 20 minutes after it had finished, which I pointed out last night. That's a bit of a problem. So we sorted that out. But yeah, a book club would be a good idea. Now, what sort of books? Would we be interested in productivity books like GTD? That would be a great one to start with. I thought chapter 2 of GTD was fabulous. And then I got on to chapter 3 and 4 and they weren't as good. Maybe if I revisited it, I would see the benefit of it. That's not a bad idea. Yeah, we could do that, couldn't we? Well, Mike would do it because he's not one for reading books on his own. And I'm up for it. Kim's up for it. And Anthony's up for it. So I think that might be a runner. I will discuss that with Mike. This is what happens in our holiday, you see. We should actually be doing specific stuff and we start daydreaming about, do you know what might be a good idea? But that way, good ideas come out. So we're already, give you a sneak peek, we're already in the middle of that. Something that was going to be something I was actually working on as a piece, and it sort of morphed into something bigger, shall we say. Can't say any more about that, but something bigger on the way, as it were. So, yeah, I love ideas like that. A book club's a grand idea. Kim says, don't know how you could do more content. You do so much. Oh, and Paul's up for a book club as well. That's fabulous. Well, the thing is, it's actually more difficult to do less. I know that seems ridiculous, but if you think about it, when we were doing MacBytes, and it's like, we've got the MacBytes to do, right? What else do we need to do? Nothing. We just need to get the MacBytes done. Then you're doing the stuff you're doing and the processes you're creating to set the microphones up and sort the recording out and the process for transferring everything. All of that you're doing for one thing. Then the following week, you've got to do all of the same things just for the one thing. Whereas the process for creating content can be spread across different types of content. So to add a book club into the mix, the only extra work would be working out initially, which would be a one thing, of how do we think it would probably be better to run this thing? You know, how could we run that? Would be one thing. And then you put the processes in. But, you know, for broadcasting the audio, that's the same. It's basically the same, isn't it? So it's harder to do it for just one, because then there's that much of a gap between shows. Every time you go in and you need to do a show, it's like re-entry. But if you did it every week, you get like on a roll. Don't tell Jonathan. Don't mention the words every and week next to each other in Jonathan's company, because he's going to get far too excited than he's good for a young man of 30 to be. Far too excited. But, well, yeah, we're obviously working on it. Because we have got consistency with after hours. So, yeah, I think a book club would be a jolly good idea. You can't get the GTD book for 2 weeks from the library, ebook and Audible. Oh, well, We'll work on when. There you go. How would it work? Would it be audio like this or via Zoom? I reckon it would be better as a Zoom, don't you? Where everyone can talk. That would be good. We'd need some kind of other thing as well, wouldn't we? To put the notes in. So some kind of system that worked for the notes. Which is where I got peeved with Notion. Because when there was the 1,000 block limit, there wasn't a limit on the number of people. Now there's a limit on the number of people. I mean, there are plenty of free alternatives. So we would need an alternative. We could actually just stick the whole thing in Slack, couldn't we? But Slack's not great when it comes to having resources in a particular place. Everything's like in a thread. Trying to find anything in Slack is a nightmare. I will discuss it with Mike. Poor Mike only went down to make the dinner and now I've got work on the desk for him. But we could make it work. But I think the GTD thing is a good idea. So, Debs, you say you can't get the book for 2 weeks. I thought, possibly wrongly, but I thought there was a free downloadable version. I can't say how legal that was. But GTD book download. I thought I had got a copy of it. That could just be me. Let's have a look. There we go. There's one PDF copy of the book for you. I'll put the link in. I have no idea about the legality of that, but, you know, VPN or whatever. And it's available. I'll just save that. That'll be very handy. I think I've got the audio version and I've got... I think it's a Kindle version I've got. Is that the right book? Is that the whole of the right book? Yeah, there's the diagram. There's the diagram that I talked about. Yeah, it's on page 32, the basic diagram that I went through in the GTD thing. There you go. Try that. Is it David Allen's book? It is. It is. It's one of the first ones he did, if not the first one. But that is the book, the definitive source, if you will, of everything that followed. 20 years of other people adding to his core principles and taking it off in different directions. But sometimes it's good to get back to the original thing, isn't it? As I said, chapter two. Oh, I love chapter two. I remember chapter two incredibly well. So chapter two, wonderful. But yeah, we could do that. A chapter a week, couldn't we? That's a brilliant idea, if I do say so. The audiobook's not bad. I do find with books like that, actually being able to highlight stuff is very, very useful. So it's great listening to it, because obviously you can do other things at the time, but to actually make notes and highlight from it is a great idea. I'll tell you another good book as well, which might be better to do first, actually. Stick to GTD one. There's a book called How to Make Smart Notes or Take Smart Notes. It's by Sunke Arons, S-O-N-K-E, Arons. That most people just highlight in a book. He has a way of you summarising the content of the book for yourself, what resonated with you in a particular way. And then basically it's like a kind of index card thing. But, you know, you can do it digitally if you want. That might be a good one for the future. Tell you what, you send me your suggestions for books and why. And then we'll sort an order out. I'm liking this. This is good for autumn. Fabulous. Great idea. That's what we'll do. That's me sniffing. I think he's actually done the dinner. So I'm going to head off and eat it. Otherwise, well, one, I'm starving. And two, he'll get very, very upset. But yes, the book club idea. Let's run with it. Let's come up with ideas for books and let's pick a time that works for everybody, because that's always going to be tricky. Yes, let's run with it. And we'll tell Jonathan when it's all sorted out. And he must tell work that they must leave him uninterrupted during that time. I can't have any launches or anything during that time. That is what we will do. But for the moment, for today, and yes, we'll be back tomorrow on our jollies, it's good night from me, and I will say good night from Mike, and we'll both see you next time. Good night, guys, and stay safe.